Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
With that, we bring in the guru, Neil Kulong. Sir, welcome.
Fantastic to be here. You're moving closer to the big draft day, and of course the Steelers have to go and do something that gets our attention off of that, right?
Yeah, they'll have to. They have made a deal where they'll pick up Allen Robinson from the Rams, and then in exchange, the Rams are going to pay two-thirds of his salary, and they flip-flop seventh-round picks. This is all if Allen can pass the physical tomorrow. Just your thoughts on adding in a guy that is, without question, a pro's pro as a receiver to that group.
I think that's the phrase to use. But there's a reason. I'm choosing my words carefully here. That the national reporters who broke this story and are continuing to update it are adding in the if he passes his physical part. Mm-hmm. And that's absolutely something to look at. This is a player that has had multiple significant injuries in his career. He's ended his last two seasons at a fairly unproductive level with injuries. He has an ACL tear to go along with a very positive career when healthy. He hasn't been healthy in a very, very long time. So the details of the trade are a lot more complex than what the overriding issue is, which is he healthy enough to execute this trade now? You have to think, of course, they wouldn't have gone this far if they weren't, at least kind of confident with each other. But at the end of the day, it depends on what the Steelers doctors say, not what the Rams doctors say. So,
right.
I don't know. I would say ordinarily, a cliche like, don't hold your breath just yet, but this is Allen Robinson we're talking about here. It's not 2016 Robinson. It's not 2019 right. Robinson. It's 2023 Allen Robinson. So the compensation of this trade speaks to that. This is really not – it's a less expensive version of the trade that they had for William Jackson last year.
Mm-hmm.
They're really not giving up anything. They're offering to take on salary. And in this case, the Steelers are giving up a little bit more than what they would have given up to Washington in the event that the Jackson situation didn't happen the way that it did. They're going to pay him $5 million to take him off of the Rams roster and hopefully get something of a productive slot receiver out of it. We have not seen Robinson play a whole lot. So he played 12 games last year, didn't do much, really was just kind of a catch and tackle receiver, not as a prominent fixture. And that part of that was with the absence of Cooper Kupp. It's not as if his targets increased significantly with that. He wasn't a real focal point of what they had. They were paying him a massive amount of money. Him not being on the Rams is the least surprising news of the NFL offseason. So what the Steelers are getting out of this, I don't think is significant if he does pass the physical. We'll see if that happens.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's as big a deal as Steelers fans are making it out to be, because one, this isn't fantasy football. Two, it's not 2018 anymore. He's a name. He's not a high-level productive player anymore, and that's just the reality of the NFL for a lot of people. 10.3 yards a catch is, that's not something to really get excited about.
My opinion, he gets in there, and I talked to Allen on New Year's Day. He spoke to the team at practice that day, and after practice for the Rose Bowl, I talked to him for a little bit, and. Look, if he goes into Pittsburgh, he passes the physical, he goes into Pittsburgh, I can see him making 40 to 45 catches and getting some first downs.
Yeah, and that fits what the Steelers have really been asking their primary slot receivers to do. He's going to be there. Hopefully, the way that I see it, and let's put salary aside, because in reality, it's almost not even to the dollar anymore. It's really just kind of a group of dollar amounts. Yeah. Robinson is not in a highly expensive range for what the Steelers are paying this year. The Rams are going to pay 10.25, which includes the 5.25 of his roster bonus. And they're splitting his base salary, $5 million each. The Steelers are going to pay $5 million, which is a massive price over what they would normally pay a slot receiver. But they're getting a veteran into the room. They've got a young team. And the value of having the veteran there, even at an elevated cost, is you don't have to draft another rookie. And we've talked about this a couple times. Regardless of what Steeler Nation thinks, Calvin Austin hasn't played a game. We have no idea who Calvin Austin is going to be. Odds are not good he's going to step on the field and catch 70 for 1,200 anyway. This isn't Mike Wallace in year two or anything. George Pickens is still developing as a player. Deontay Johnson has this and one more year at a bad price for both sides next year. We don't know where they're going with the position. But we do know that drafting yet another young receiver is taxing on the entire group. Adding a veteran to that makes a lot more sense. So I can see why they would do it, even if the price is up a bit. But that veteran presence, I think, is really what you're paying for, perhaps more than anything else. I agree with you. He's shown that he can catch the ball. At his best, he was legitimately one of the best route runners in the game. Underneath, he was dangerous. Yeah. Really shifty. Hard to cover him, zone or man. He was a weapon. He has that know-how if he doesn't quite have the same physical ability anymore, and it is something that they need to have. I think a large part of the problems, if you want to call them that, that Deontay Johnson had last year was the tacklers swarmed to him because he's the only guy that they threw to at that level. The intermediate level where Johnson eats is what Robinson is able to do. So if you can have two guys running concurrently with each other, you might be able to set one or the other up. That's something the Steelers offense absolutely did not do last year for whatever reason. That's probably challenge number one for Matt Canada. If he wants to continue in his role, he's going to have to find a way to better set up the receivers off one another. I think Robinson can help that in the shorter area because he's good at seeing where coverage is. How to get open, and perhaps draw some of the attention that Johnson's getting away from the middle, away from the flats, and give him an opportunity to be able to make one guy miss and get upfield instead of having to make three guys miss, which is what we saw of him last year when his numbers fell through the floor. So there's some utility value to him. I don't think it's going to be a statistical game. 40-45, I can see that. I think that's probably optimistic. But with a 17-game schedule, let's just assume, because we're not ghoulish, that he will play all 17 games, it's about right. I don't think Anthony Miller would do any less than that. So I don't think it's so much the player, the physical player. I think it's what he can bring to help the rest of the wide receiver group out.
Because that's what I see with Patrick Peterson. He'll be a more productive player and he'll play a lot more. But I also think he'll be a guy that if they decide to draft a young corner, that corner will lean on Patrick Peterson's knowledge. And I think that's what part of this is too.
Yeah, I would agree. The Steelers have done this. They'll throw in a little bit of a kicker, telling somebody basically, look, you're going to get what you're going to get in terms of production. What we want you to do is help out with this guy that we bring in. They'll pay a premium to their veterans to do things like that. It's important. That's part of a team. And when you're operating with a $225 million salary cap that you're going to be, minus $5 million, $6 million during the season, there's value in paying a little bit more. One, to get that player in the door because you really need him, and two, to make sure that they do accept and understand that mentorship role going into it. And yes, I think Peterson helps with that. He's got some utility as a player, but they absolutely are going to sign. They're going to draft a cornerback. That's a foregone conclusion. And having a future Hall of Famer there to help mentor him definitely helps. And I think Robinson, to some extent, can provide a little bit of that as well. And yeah, I'm pulling this out on my own. Nobody's reporting this or anything like that. But you know, Deontay Johnson's a guy that he held out of camp last year. He has a contract again. It's upside down for next year. His base salary is lower than his cap charge is. So whether he's on the team next year or not is still up in the air. And apparently he got into a fight with a quarterback in a week four game at halftime. I'm not sure that that's the best thing for a team, though I might argue that maybe the quarterback needed to hear it in a more forceful way.
Yeah.
You could see why they need another veteran is really my point. Johnson is there. Johnson is a solid, proven NFL player. Pickens is young. Austin is young. The rest of the room is up in the air. So providing maybe a little bit more of a due north off the field and practice influence guy, it makes a lot of sense. And with that, yeah, you're going to pay a little bit of a premium. The world's not going to collapse if they're paying $5 million for that versus $3 million, which is going to be the rate. And it's the rate of Miles Boykin, who's probably going to be overall, on some degree, as productive as a 35 catch slot receiver. He's one of the better special teams players in the game. He's excellent in that role. You're paying a little bit of a premium, I think, to have the guy that really has excelled at the position to help a very young room with a young coaching staff.
You mentioned in their cap. Any idea what Jalen Hurts' contract does to the Eagles' cap moving forward?
I haven't broken it down specifically, but cap hits are going to be one thing today, and they're really going to take root 2 years from now.
Right.
And there's a lot of things that can happen between now and then. It really depends on how the Eagles want to manage that, like they would anybody else. You know, Deshaun Watson's contract was pretty simple. Here it all is. It's guaranteed. They built it in such a way that it kind of models what Patrick Mahomes has in Kansas City, in that they have the ability to restructure a base salary into a signing bonus at the beginning of each year.
Okay.
So what I mean by that is he has a large base salary and he doesn't have anything guaranteed going into the year. I should say in Mahomes' case, the base salary is guaranteed anyway, and obviously Watson's is too. So converting the base salary into signing bonus drops his cap substantially and pushes it out later on. And they've implemented it in such a way that they're doing it at the pace of growth. So his cap number is right in line with an extended veteran quarterback with the rest of the league. So it's manageable. And I without having gone into the nitty-gritty details of Hurts's, I would imagine it's structured similar to that, with probably similar cap hits with a little bit less cash in the form of guarantee, but he'll probably make that up because, you know, it doesn't seem all that common that you fall out of favor with a quarterback that you paid, you know, top three, top two money to in 2 years. You know, he's still on the team. He's not going anywhere. So the guaranteed piece of it to me is arbitrary. I mean, for the player, obviously it matters. For the cap, it's insignificant. Yeah. You know, he's going to get the money anyway because they're not going to cut him. So it's inconsequential overall, and the cap, I would imagine, is going to fall in line with what they can project the cap to be within, you know, a couple million dollars one way or another. They have a good sense of what that's going to be. And with that, this is how agents negotiate. They're talking about the percentage of the cap being the quarterback salary, because the top guys are getting this percentage of the cap. It's not the total dollars. So whatever that number happens to be is the number they'll land on, plus or minus, you know, some points for negotiation. I'd imagine to be somewhere in there, and that the quarterback's cap number is going to hit 40, 45 in a regular year in the next two, 3 seasons. And that's pre-Herbert and Burrow. So Hurts got, an excellent deal for who
he
is.
Too.
It's with a franchise that knows exactly how to use him to his strengths. And they've obviously had a lot of success together, and he's going to be recognized as one of the highest-paid players in the game. However you want to shift that around, there's a bunch of different ways to define it. Hurts is in that conversation in all of those forms of measurement. So, I you know, at the end of the day, you might have cap space having a quarterback on a significantly lower deal, but usually that means you don't have a quarterback. So, you know, the Eagles got away with not having to pay their quarterback, and they made hay with that. Now they're going to have to
right. They're going to have to be more clever. They're going to have to be more clever.
Yeah, there are worse crimes to have. There are worse challenges to have in the NFL than having to pay a really good quarterback. It's just the way that I see it. They're going to get paid.
People
make too much out of the cap itself. It's accounting. They have to pay good players. You know, you're not going to win if you don't.
Right. And my bottom line is you have to have them. They did what they had to do.
Yep.
No issue with the contract. But now, moving forward, you're going to have to put chess pieces around him to make sure it fits the number that you need.
Yeah, if you want to do a comparative analysis of it, Steelers have to do the same thing around Kenny Pickett. Doesn't matter how much he makes. It's a different set of problems, you know. Yep. But universally, you have to put good players around your core players if you want to be successful. Eagles will have to transition. You know, they're not going to be able to go out and get the rent-a-player like Damacon Sue midway through the season, pay him, you know, the prorated version of $10 million to play down the stretch. But you don't have to do that to win a Super Bowl either. You know, the Chiefs, second half certainly of the Super Bowl proved that. So it's a challenge in a different form. You just have to... You have to hit on draft picks like you usually do. You got to find, market regressed value players for your scheme, your system, on the cheap and free agency, and you got to get rookies to go well above their rookie contract. The system across the entire NFL always depends on that. That's always what it comes down to. So you draft well, you're going to be a good team. That's just the reality of the league. And quarterbacks make money. That's just something you have to pay. So they're still in a good spot. I would bet on that front office over just about anybody in the league, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they have a quarterback with proven success and a staple of offense that they're going to be able to replicate. They've still got excellent receivers. Keep that in mind. They've built their team very well. I would imagine they'll be just as competitive next year the year after.
Yeah. Yeah. This upcoming year, they're fine. It's going to be a question of 2 years from now. You probably can't keep Brown. You're on the verge of maybe not keeping Smith, so that's where you got to be a little more clever.
Yep, and that's the challenge. You know, you hope to get a high-level guy. They can't all be A.J. Brown. They can't all be Devontae Smith.
No, that's right.
High-level, A-plus players. But you hope for the right opportunity, because you look at the Browns situation. They didn't draft it. They just exploited Tennessee and their, you know, as we would find out later, outgoing general manager for a sucker's deal. You can find that if you know what you're looking for in the league. And I feel like Howie Roseman is dialed into that. They know what they want from their players. They know how they want to play football. It's a huge asset to have, because then you're finding – you know, the market downgrade of guys, because they don't fit in as well anywhere else as they will in Philadelphia. So you can draft that guy in the fifth round and have him be a high-level guy for you for 4 years. You may keep him, you may not, but that cycle will continue to repeat itself. The more successful you're going to be with it, the more options you have, and then you can be creative in building out what you have around your core group.
You're the best. Appreciate you so much.
Definitely. Thanks, sir. You guys have a good one.